Welcome to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Dietrich Gladden from St. Paul's Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan. Good morning, Pastor Gladden.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, sir. And you?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little nervous, but we can get through.
Well, we are studying God's Word today, and I don't know if there's really anything to be nervous about that. I'm looking forward to studying with you today, Pastor Gladden.
Most definitely.
Tell us about St. Paul's Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan.
St. Paul's is a great place to go. We're the only Lutheran LCMS church in Pontiac, Michigan. Our theme is, our motto is, meeting the people where they are with the gospel that changes lives. The object that we try to do is meet the people here in the community with God's gospel and allow His gospel to come through their lives and begin to change and enhance their lives through our Bible studies and through our Sunday worship, our English and Spanish worship here in Pontiac. We have just such a great time of getting together and learning God's Word and fellowshipping together with all the multicultural things that we have.
I'm so glad that you are there in that community. You and I had a chance to talk once before on Faith and Family about something unique there, and that is the garden that you have. The garden's at St. Paul's Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac. And
right.
With spring now upon us, I gather the gardens are, well, you'll be doing some prep on the gardens very soon and getting ready to gear up for a new season, a new growing season.
Right. The growing season is going to be awesome. The ground is almost really right. We have a little bit of rain, which is softening things up, but we're just getting ready to till it over and begin the preparation of making the aisles and starting to look at what God would like to have in this garden. But also what we're going to do this year is put up a fence. We're looking forward to putting up like a little corral where it have a little more home space where people can be able to do a lot more prep, and also a sprinkling system so we can have the right water during the dry season. But it's awesome to see how God's hands are going through growth with having a garden and the fellowship that goes along with it in the community. Last year we had 4 or 5 families that came along, and now they're in the church, and with the Hispanic community we should have a little bit more. Looking forward to it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks be to God for the ministry that's happening there in Pontiac, Michigan. Today we are studying Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. What would you like for us to know about this text before we dig into it?
Well, about this text, it's really awesome because God is really saying, hey, look, it is about my great salvation, my son, Jesus Christ, who is the one that carries the grace and the power that is there to direct and reflect what the world and what the devil is trying to do, but is there also to come into our hearts and show us what eternal life is there for. But he also warns us that we shouldn't drift away. And that's the point where we're going to really look at today, too, also, that drifting away, because we're so influenced by so many things in this world. And in our world, these things are very, very tempting. But we got to understand that, you know what? God did really send His Son to be a part of our humanity. So through those testimonies, through those temptations, He has that power to overcome the evil that is there in the downtrodden of pulling us not into eternal life with the devil, but pulling us to eternal life with Him, which is awesome.
Amen. Well, let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 18. We'll start at the first verse today. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. All right. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. What is this that we've heard that we do not want to drift away from?
Well, it's that power and awesome deliverance of what God has done. Like in our season, Holy Week is coming up, Easter is coming up, And God has really shown us through Jesus Christ's ministry in the Gospels, and he himself has attested for us the power and shown through those who have gone before us, those disciples, those that passed on to their families, which passed on to the next generation for us, that simple message of the good news of Jesus Christ for us, the Christ crucified for our salvation. He doesn't want us to drift away from that, because that drifting away from that is taking us to an eternal life that we just don't want to be separated from God. He himself, from the beginning of time, knew that when Adam and Eve had started to begin thinking of themselves instead of thinking of just being with him and beginning sin, that, you know what, he was the only way. You know, he was the only one that can answer that question, that he would step out of the heavens and become the Son. And then from there, he, you know, had the grace. And in many ways, he is saying to us, you know what, listen, my child, I love you that much. Listen, here I am.
For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. Well, let's go back to verse 2. Since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution... message declared by angels.
Well, the message is what? The message that Jesus is coming, but also the message that we should be bound, that there is binding in every violation. There are all these disobediences that set them to a different standard, you know. But they will receive the punishment, you know. And if we think like that if we, as God's surgeon, we can't escape what he has for us either way. If we turn to those things that violate through disobedience the punishments there is, you know what? Then we won't have, by ignoring, we won't have the great salvation that he has given. Mm-hmm. And the angel spoke of it. And by the angel speaking of it, you know, here it is that he's going to set us up. Jesus is speaking of it. God is speaking of it. If we disobey and be disobedient to that, you know, God is saying, don't be disobedient to that, but don't be disobedient to what he has said, you know, and he doesn't want that for us. He wants us to be obedient. He wants us to listen, because he spoke by the angels for years through his Bible. As you look through the Old and New Testament, he's always talking to them. He's always being with them. He's always warning them. And I think of Moses. He used Moses and Mary and all those guys all the time. So, you know, all of that is, we need to be aware. And we need to take and be understanding of what the Lord has for us and be reminded.
It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God alone bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. As this is just as you were saying, God, we see throughout scriptures, God spoke, as we read in Hebrews, in many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old, but now, in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, right?
Yeah, he speaks to us clearly by his Son, but that word is there for as value as that testament that, hey, this is real. Even the disciples, I mean, we're so trusted in what they wrote, you know, and think about it. He was not just the setback author. He was the author that he allowed these guys to see God and to see Jesus' ministry. And that was awesome. Because here it is, testifying on what God loved and what God wanted for his children. He's been trying to take care of his creation, us, since the beginning of time. And I always tell people at our church, you know, the Father in heaven loved you so much, even before you were a baby in your mom's womb, even before you were a twinkle in your father's eye, that he would bring his son, that he knew he was going to do that, that he would show you the signs, the wonders, and the miracles to the disciples so they can write them down, so you can see it. And I think in the Bible it says something that, how great it is that, how the stronger the faith or something like that for a man who hasn't seen God but just read. I mean, how strong is our faith today that we would read his word and the Holy Spirit would give us all the gifts that we would need, not just the gifts of love and compassion, but the gifts to change the world, the gifts to even get their scripture correctly and its value to where the Holy Spirit can use it to change people's lives. That's like meeting people where they are in the world with his words. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here he is meeting you today.
Anything else about verses 1 through 4 before we go on to the next section, Pastor?
Well, I think it's interesting that he would start off with a warning. And then even before that, he starts off with proving the deity of who his son was. And even before that, he said, you know what? Here I am. But then he tells you about all the gifts that the Holy Spirit is to remind you of the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you. And then he reminds you about the wonders and the miracles that we all ask for. You know, the miracle of what happens to us when we come to service on Sunday morning in our liturgy. That's awesome. You know? Hmm. But a lot of times, we all disobey. But he's saying, don't stray away. And that's the key. Don't stray away, world. Remember. Remember what I've done for you. Draw close. That's what brings us to the gospel.
Verse 5, for it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. So here we see, for it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. This is testified. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. This is about Jesus, right?
Right. Jesus. I mean, we say to the youth here, Jesus is the man. You know, he's the head of all creation with his Father. And then there's the angels, but he made them that way. So what? He would have the understanding. He would see. He would show the power is in him, that he would come and be subject and tested to this. You know, not lower than the angels, but having all the power God has given him later on when he was glorified in his death and resurrection. I think that's awesome. One thing that came to mind was, you know, we hear this a lot, and what is mindful that you are mindful of them? What is it mindful that you are mindful of them, a son of man, that you care for them? And a lot of people don't realize they're talking about, you know, they use that in compassion with one another and stuff, but they never finish reading how God was placed on the throne of humanity, how he walked with us, how he had miracles with us like in the first, but also how he was man and God. And it's awesome because it shows us the Trinity in a Trinity in its fullest, that we may see it, that we know that here was the Father and the Son, and now the Holy Spirit is starting to work because we have read it and seen it, and he's changing our heart and drawing us close.
Should we go, well, should we go on to the next part of verse 8 or anything else about verses 5 through 7?
Well, I like 5 through 7. I do. I like it that God is willing to testify for us. Man, he has written in the scriptures and in the gospels through Jesus' ministry. He has shown the apostles, and apostles have turned around and written it in Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John, the whole good news for us to see. We can see the miracles. We can see the blessings. We can see Jesus in the human side when he cried for Lazarus. You know, we can see these things, and we can see them daily by just going back and reading them. And most people in the world, they go back and they watch a movie over and over and over and look and learn. And instead of learning that over and over, let's learn with Jesus Christ. Let's build our faith and see the awesome thing he has done, the history, the love for the creation. So, you know, and he made him king of all creation. You know, so he's the man.
Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. So, putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. Everything is subject to him.
Remember he was on the lake and Peter was walking across?
Mm-hmm.
Great example, huh? Peter turned his face and he starts to sink, right?
Mm-hmm.
He told Peter, take your face off the world, right? Look at me, face me. Then when he was rocking the boat, they were in a storm, right? Here's control of, and we're just talking about what? Weather. We're just talking about things of the world. Exactly what they're talking about here. He's had all that under his feet. It's under his control. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he submits himself to death. After all that, he lays down his life for his friend. Where people in our world, fathers, mothers, won't even lay down their lives for their children. They won't even give them the gospel. But here, our Father in heaven has used this man, his son, the Son of Man, and made him lonely as in lower than the angels. It's not about status, but it's about control. It's about making him that lamb, that true lamb of God, that will take away all the sins of the world, that will have mercy on us, that will give us peace, that will point us to the salvation. Yeah, he suffered. He suffered for a great thing, though. He suffered that we may have grace. I always tell people, are we going to live? We are all going to live eternity. But where? Are you going to live eternally with God? Or are you going to live eternally in darkness?
At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. We don't see it all now, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. At present we do not yet see everything in subjection to him.
When, not physical.
Yeah, when will we see everything?
When will we see everything? I believe we see everything when we begin to open the scriptures. I believe we'll see everything when the Holy Spirit works in our heart. And I'm not talking physical. And we'll see the Lord when it says when our life is over and we go in front of the throne, we'll know but we see everything in Jesus Christ when we started to believe and see what is done in that death and resurrection, and in that being low, in that crown of glory that he's given. As we read the scriptures, as we allow the Holy Spirit even more, as the Holy Spirit works in us and have that burning desire, that's when I believe we see more and more of it now. You understand what I'm saying? Now.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll take a look at verses 10 through 18. So we'll continue our study of God's Word, the daily New Testament reading here with Pastor Dietrich Gladden from St. Paul's Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO. Now discover how easy it is to listen to KFUO where you are. Discover our online stream and on-demand programs that allow you to listen where, when, and how you want. Discover how easy it is to listen on your radio, smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, and other listening devices. You've discovered the Christ-centered message that KFUO proclaims daily in both word and song. We are KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Dietrich Gladden from St. Paul's Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan. We're in Hebrews chapter 2 today. Pastor, are we ready to pick up at verse 10?
Yes, we are.
All right. Verse 10, "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again, 'Behold, I and the children God has given me.'" So let's take a look at that. "For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." How does suffering make one perfect?
Well, I believe in the suffering text, in the text, the suffering and the things that we know from when we think of being human, you know, that God has placed him to go through the cries and the heartache and stuff, but that we see him in his time, you know, like where it says he is a pioneer of the salvation, which is made perfect, you know, that he's gone through, he's the first one to go through all of this and step out of the heavens for us and really still be the man of God that he needs to be, to live a life right. Because in suffering time and time again, when you're tested and you're suffered, and you're suffering, you might fall. But Christ didn't fall. He held on. Even to his death, he held on. Even with the men on the cross that was on the right and the left, he held on. He still did what his Father said. Even in the garden, when he was ready to give up, he still held on. So in that suffering text, you know, you see that Jesus was there to do what his Father said and what his Father wanted him for our salvation.
"For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, 'I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise.' And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source.
The source of salvation that comes from Jesus, from the source of life, the one who created God, where our faith is given. He is the source, the only source that, salvation is laying, Jesus Christ. He called them brother because it was that humanity that he became humanity, that he can say, I am one of them too. I am the Son of Man, the Son of God. I am him. And when I get to the congregation, I will sing and pray. A lot of times we hear people talk about Jesus being the advocate. Basically what they say, he will be the advocate. I will bring praises. I will lift him up. And here I am. And the children God has given me, humbly, you know, this is what my Father has for me to do. This is what I shall do. How many people in the world would actually do that? Most of us would break. But here the assurance that he can be declared as brother and sister in the assemblies. He will praise you. He will lift you up through his salvation and grace.
Verse 14, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who fear of death, all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. All right, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil.
The victory is mine. Victory is in salvation. Victory is in what Christ has done on the altar of the cross. You know, the Hebrews at this time were doing what? They were still, even though the Hebrew nation, they were still doing what? Giving sacrifices. They were still going to the temple. The priests were still pushing them away. But those Christians, Jews that became believers in Jesus Christ, his followers, to tell him, no, we don't have to do that. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I became flesh. I became blood. I became the sacrament, like the sacrament we have, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. I became that. That is the power. That is the salvation. Because we have to remember, it is the great salvation we're still talking about. He's just starting to prove, this is who I am. This is what Paul was saying to the Hebrews. It's all about Jesus. It's not all about the things that you can do to make it to heaven or what you can pay for. It is about his body and his blood. That is his flesh. That is Jesus that was crucified, that we preach. Jesus is crucified. It is also about, in that victory, the victory over what the devil's trying to do. I mean, in a literal sense, there are people in this world that are afraid of dying. But have you ever seen a person that has really great relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, that understands this part, that in humanity and his flesh and his blood, Jesus shared in the humanity that is that death for us? Peace. I think of my mom who passed away in April. It is that peace that she had, knowing that her salvation was in Jesus Christ, knowing that she was a descendant, the Jew and the Gentile, the Russian and the German, the Mexican and the African, the Anglo and the Hispanic. And it breaks it down to we're all his descendants. We're all like him.
For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself had suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. What is the work of a high priest?
The work of the high priest here is, let me make sure I get this right. For you, the work of the high priest is the person, is what Jesus did for us, is the one who serves God and serves God's people. And in that content, you know, he became, and he was the reason why we have what we have today as Christians, and we don't need to forget it. I love the fact that it says fully human in every way in order that he might become merciful and faithful high priest. That means to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, that he might do what God has asked him. I love that he is willing. And we are not willing all the time, but he is. And I love that God is showing us here, you know what? This is the true way. This is the one that you have to trust. This is the one I want to introduce you to. He is that great salvation. This is my son who became and was made fully man for your purpose. And I love to think that the Holy Spirit is sitting there tapping on people's hearts that they may get Christ is crucified. And that we can on Easter day say, he is risen. He is risen indeed. The victory is done.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else that you'd like for us to learn from this text?
I think the thing that really stands out with this text for me is in our current state of our world and in our current state of humanity, we really need to pay attention to what God is saying to us. We really need to understand that we really need to be aware of who he is, because there's many ways that people in the world have really taken the concept of who Jesus Christ is and twisted it. And we are easily influenced. But it is Christ crucified, and it's by grace and faith alone in the scriptures that our faith is built. And it is Jesus Christ who has suffered. It is Jesus Christ who has laid down his life. But it is also the Father's Son who has been obedient. So it should strengthen us to be obedient to what Christ has done for us. You know, Luther said, it is in the bag in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's what I think. In Jesus Christ's salvation, it is in the bag in his precious name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor, for helping us study this text. Pastor Dietrich Gladden, St. Paul's Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan. Thanks for being our guest today on his time and helping us study Hebrews chapter 2.
Well, thank you very much. God bless you, and the peace of the Lord be with you all.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. More His Time to start your day with the Word of God and prayer right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO.